Chapter 27, California. "So, when do you ever work?" the customs officer asked with a laugh after I explained to him how I got all those stamps in my new passport. Søren was in the airport to pick me up. Being 2 meters tall, he was always easy to pick out in a crowd. It was good to see him again. We had been in school together, and when it finished, he was one of just two guys I'd kept in touch with. We had traveled a lot together. The year after having gone to Boracay in the Philippines, we went on a trip to Niagara Falls and New York for a few weeks. My friend Adam from Ronin Athletics in New York managed a bar where we were hanging out almost every night, King's Head Tavern. One night, I stood in the door talking to Adam as a girl handed me her ID. She assumed there was a bouncer, and I took advantage of the situation, pretending that I thought she had a fake ID. The joke didn't really work, but half an hour later, she was talking to Søren in the bar, and before I knew it, they were married. Søren had left Denmark to move to Oakland with her, and they were expecting their first baby. Visiting my best friend from school in his home in California, basically on the other side of the planet, and seeing his wife Kristen pregnant was like coming to see the end result of a crazy butterfly effect caused by thousands of micro decisions we had made together years earlier. It didn't feel like me and Søren had been away from each other for long. I couldn't even remember when I had seen him last time, but it seemed like time was warped for me in a weird way recently. I felt at home in his and Kristen's company. It was the most natural thing in the world for me to stay there. Sitting on the couch with the TV on, high-speed wireless internet on my iPad, and a big fridge full of food, I could feel how I was back in the civilized world again. It was easy. Too easy. It didn't feel like I belonged there. Being sucked into Western civilization and staying there for too long would be a big mistake. I had to remind myself that it was only a quick visit in the real world. I actually couldn't really tell what the real world was at that point, before heading back to the deep water in unexplored South America. It was like that one cheat day where you go home for a nice warm shower and a shave during a muddy music festival, rather than sleeping in a tent, eating bad food and not washing. Been there. When I woke up, Søren and Kristen had left for work and I was home alone. BJJ Weekly called me on Skype for an interview. They asked me about my preparation for the World Championships, where I would be competing only a few days later. I still hadn't had time to think much about it, but I definitely had the best preparation of all the guys in my division, maybe even the whole tournament. While they had been working out hard in dirty gyms and only eating chicken and vegetables every day for months, I had been surfing, partying, sailing the Caribbean, chilling on the beach, riding motorbikes around Asia, and making hundreds of new friends. "No one could beat my preparation that year," was my reply. I was only going to stay in Oakland for 2 days, and it felt mostly like just resting before the tournament. However, I didn't want to visit a place without training, and even though my body was exhausted after the long trip from Costa Rica, I decided to look into it a little bit. In my head, I had almost already made up in my mind to skip training, but in case anything interesting popped up, I didn't want to miss it. Searching through my inbox, I had lots of invitations for training in the Bay Area. I had no idea which one to choose or how to get there. Instead of trying to pick one, I decided to do a small post on my blog asking if anyone could help me out. I didn't expect much of it really, but it couldn't hurt to try. I had gotten about 20 replies in a few hours. Most of them seemed too far away, and I was about to conclude that I would just stay home and rest until I saw this one. "Hi. I hope you don't mind, but I noticed you were working on your BJJ block on the plane. My wife and I were sitting on your row. I train out of One Martial Arts in Union City, California. You are more than welcome to stop in and train with us. We have classes daily at 6:30 p.m. Tom." It was the perfect spontaneous opportunity, and I had to grab it. I replied to him right away, and he told me to meet him at Union Station later that evening. Tired as a dog, I packed my gi and asked Søren to take me to the train station. I enjoyed my little breather in the civilized world. The train station was clean. The map on the wall was easy to read. Buying tickets needed no language training or courage to approach strangers and ask for help. The air was clean that evening as I sat on the bench waiting for the train. I was excited to meet Tom. Having been sitting next to so many people in planes already on the trip, I didn't remember anything of him or his wife. The story of bumping into a stranger like that and possibly becoming friends through training was really interesting on so many levels. I remembered Chris and the group of Brits whom I had shared taxis with in Perhentian Island in Malaysia, who had become friends out of the blue. That experience definitely played a part in my reaction to Tom's invitation. Anyone right next to you at any given time can potentially be a new friend and change your life. Talking to and meeting strangers was something I wanted to do more of after what happened in Malaysia. This was a great chance for that, and I was chasing it up right away. It was a wonderful train ride along a big open landscape. Trees and houses filled the flat area between the train tracks and a long hill. They were typical American cookie-cutter houses, as I remembered them from my many earlier trips to the States. I thought of how Derek and the family in Florida were doing and wondered if they would really come visit me for Christmas as they had been talking about. Being back home for Christmas seemed like an eternity away. I still had half a globe to travel first. The seat was spacious and comfortable. The sun had almost set and the valley was covered in long shadows. A big sign saying sunshine biscuits reached high enough to be hit by the day's last rays of sunlight. A woman next to me was reading a book on a Kindle. I was wondering if someday someone would be sitting there reading in my book about sitting in that same train. The project of writing a book was exciting, but it also seemed like an overwhelming amount of work. I used the last credit on my phone to text Tom, letting him know that the stranger from the plane was almost there. I couldn't see anyone on the parking lot outside of the station, and was just about to take out my phone to check if I had any battery left, before I saw a guy waving at me. "Nice to meet you again," I said as we shook hands and both laughed. He had seen the BJJ Globetrotter logo on my iPad on the plane and thought he recognized it from somewhere, but didn't remember where. It wasn't until he got home and looked it up that he realized that he had read one of my posts on the Sherdog forum a year before I left for the trip. Some of his training partners were already following my blog, so he decided to invite me to come train in his gym. It looked like a big warehouse, and I immediately noticed the sign over the entrance, One World Martial Arts. I liked it. I changed into my gi and sat on the mat, starting to stretch. It was a small class run by a friendly black belt who introduced himself as Mike. Class started, and I did warm-up drills with one of the guys. He asked me about what weight category I would be competing in, guessing that I was under 70 kilos. I must have gotten really skinny at that point if he guessed 12 kilos under my division. I wasn't really paying attention to the class. My mind was somewhere else, thinking about what I would find in South America. I just had to get to Las Vegas, get the World Championships over with, and then I would be back on the road. I felt tired, but it was good to get some work done, so I shouldn't move on to the next destination without having been to at least one gym first. I went really light with the rolls. There was no need to use up too much energy before the competition. My timing wasn't right, but it really didn't bother me. A few good purple belts had a really good game, and I had to find my focus and pick up the pace a bit to keep up with them. Tom gave me a ride to the train station, and we said goodbye. We were still laughing at how random our meeting had been and what had come out of it. The train had just left, so I had to wait 20 minutes for the next one. My knee injury was itching strangely. It was never a good time for it to hurt, but with the biggest competition in the world coming up a few days later, it was very bad timing if something were to happen. Finally, I was on the train where a guy sitting a few rows in front of me was smoking something from a piece of tin foil, and another one was having a very intense conversation with an imaginary friend. I just wanted to get to bed and get some sleep before flying to Las Vegas the next morning. I found a seat and sat down to look out the window. I was dead tired, but glad that Tom had contacted me and that I had taken him up on his offer. Apparently, jiu-jitsu was everywhere. I wondered how many strangers I had passed on the street that could have become friends or training partners.